I spoke of all that Jesus did and taught from the beginning until the day on which he was taken up, after he had given commandments through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. To them also he showed himself alive after his passion by many proofs during 40 days, appearing to them and speaking of the kingdom of God. And while eating with them, he charged them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, of which you have heard, said he, by my mouth. For John indeed baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days hence. They therefore who had come together began to ask him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? But he said to them, It is not for you to know the times or dates which the Father has fixed by his own authority. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be witnesses for me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, and even to the very ends of the earth. And when he had said this, he was lifted up before their eyes, and the cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing up to heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white garments, and said to them, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up to heaven? This Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven shall come in the same way as you have seen him going up to heaven. Please stand for the gospel. The Holy Gospel for this feast is taken from the account according to St. Mark, chapter 16, verses 14 to 20. At that time, Jesus appeared to the 11 disciples as they were at table. And he upbraided them for their lack of faith and hardness of heart, in that they had not believed those who had seen him after he had risen. And he said to them, Go into the whole world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he who does not believe shall be condemned. And these signs shall attend those who believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak in new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands upon the sick, and they shall get well. So then the Lord Jesus, after he had spoken to them, was taken up into heaven and sits at the right hand of God. But they went forth and preached everywhere, while the Lord worked with them and confirmed the preaching by the signs that followed. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. As always on this Feast of the Ascension, the Church, through the guidance of the Holy Spirit, which will soon be sent anew to us, the Church brings us up to heaven, first by giving us the view of our Lord, secondly by giving us the view of the saints who were conducted to heaven by our Lord on this day. St. Thomas Aquinas, as I was reading recently, says that as he opens his section, his chapter, if you want, on the ascension, the first question, which is, in my opinion, the most beautiful of all of the articles that deal with the mystery of the ascension, the first article, or rather the first section of this topic on the ascension, deals with the question of whether or not it was right for our Lord to go to heaven, body and soul. After that question, he deals with others. For example, he asks the question whether Christ ascended by his own power into heaven, whether he was raised, whether he ascended into heaven above all the heavens, whether he ascended above all spiritual creatures. And then there is finally the question about our Lord sitting at the right hand of the Father. But the first one, as I mentioned, deals with this question of whether or not it was fitting, as he says, for our Lord to go to heaven, body and soul. And he says, yes, it was fitting, because our Lord, who had been given a glorious body by God the Father after the resurrection, therefore, as a result of that, lived in the state of incorruption. He lived in the state of corporeal integrity in such a manner that it was no longer possible for our Lord to suffer. It was no longer possible for him to experience in any degree sadness or suffering or death. And so, while this world is a world of corruption, a world of change, a world of pain, a world in which we are condemned to death and to grief, it was therefore not right for our Lord, who had received the reward in his humanity of incorruption and of glorification, it was not right for him to stay in a world of death, to remain in a world of suffering and sadness. And that is the reason, fundamentally, why our Lord ascended into heaven as man. St. Thomas says someplace else that when our Lord ascended into heaven, he did in a way peculiarly as a human, not except by way of causality, not as God, because you see, our Lord was already God. It was not possible for Jesus, the divine person, to aspire to anything more than what he already was in his personhood. But in his humanity, it was fitting for our Lord to aspire to that which was, we can say, the completion of his reward as having been the conqueror of sin and death in his passion and in his resurrection. And so, therefore, our Lord ascended into heaven and received then the completion of his reward. And so it says in the scriptures that our Savior then now sits at the right hand of the Father. And so that is fundamentally and essentially what is contained in this event of the ascension, which took place on this very day. But that is not all. If we were to stop there, we would, I think, rest in a state of emptiness. It's almost as if our Lord now has left us, we now remain somewhat separated from our Lord. But this, of course, is not true. And why is this not true? It is not true because of something else, something which took place at the beginning of the incarnation. It is what we can call, and what I have spoken to you about on other occasions, what we can call the incorporation of the human race into the body of Christ. Do you know what St. Augustine says? He says this: Because Christ has now ascended into heaven, we who belong to the body of Christ, we also are in heaven with our Lord. Because we are part of his body. And so, we are in heaven too. Because we are, as we can say, absorbed into the body of Christ. And this is made, as it were, vividly manifest to us by the holy sacrifice of the Mass, by the species of bread and wine which represent you and me. The species are transformed, or better put, the substance of the bread is transformed into the ascended, to the risen, to the crucified body of our blessed Lord. The body which enjoys the happiness of heaven is that body which we belong to. We are part of the flesh of Christ. And, in a way, we are in not only in a spiritual manner, but in a real and true and substantial, virtually speaking, manner, incorporated, as it were, engrafted onto this body by virtue of the fact that we receive Holy Communion. The body of Christ comes into our body, and through his body, he, as it were, brings us into his own and gives us an outpouring of the happiness of heaven. Come, blessed of my Father, receive the joy that has been reserved for you. And there are many, many other quotes from Scripture. Well done, good and faithful servant, because you have been faithful over a few things, I will set you over many. Welcome, enter into the joy of your Lord. The happiness of God is the happiness that our Lord in his humanity received. And it is the same happiness that is destined for us. Do you know where the clue of understanding this mystery of the ascension is found? It is found in the resurrection. In the words of our Lord, after he had risen, soon after he had risen from the dead, what did he say? He said to Mary Magdalene, go tell the disciples that I ascend to my Father and to your Father, to my God and to your God. Our Lord right away began to think of the completion of his happiness in heaven as soon as he rose from the dead, because he realized that it was no longer fitting for him to stay in this world. Why did he for a limited time? In order to confirm the truth of his bodily resurrection from the dead. But our Lord was destined from the moment of his resurrection to receive the fullness of happiness in his humanity in heaven. And because our Lord then is flesh of our flesh, and because he is therefore the head of the human race, the head of each of us, not only do we say that we are therefore in heaven because he is in heaven, but more. It is, in a manner of speaking, a promise. Because the head is in heaven, so must the rest of the body be with the head. And so it is a promise that we too will be given in our bodies, as well as in our immortal souls, the happiness of heaven. And didn't our Lord say that before he died? I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, you also may be. Not just your souls, but all of you. That which makes you to be what you are in every way, that is what is meant to share the happiness of heaven someday. And so our Lord ascended into heaven and did so not only to receive that which was destined for himself, but he did it for other reasons too. He did it to prepare a place for us because we belong to him. Because he belongs to us. He did it to increase our faith. He did it to make us aspire to heaven, to make us desire it, because our head is there. Where is heaven? Wherever our Lord is. And that's where we want to be. That is the reason why we aspire to heaven. It is all because of this feast, you see. We want to go to heaven because our Lord is there. Because he ascended in heaven today. And most of all, our Lord ascended into heaven, in order, as he says in the scripture, to direct our love to things of heaven. Seek the things that are above, not the things that are below. But our conversation, as St. Paul says, is in heaven. And that is the reason why our Lord also went there, as I say, in order to direct our love to the things that are above, to the things that are not of this world. And you know, there is one other reason why our Lord ascended into heaven, which is, in a way, the most lofty and the most mystical. It has to do with something else that our Lord said before he suffered on the cross at the time of the Last Supper. He said this, "It is expedient," meaning it is necessary for you, not only necessary for me, but it is necessary for you that I go. Not only that I may prepare a place for you, but he says, if I do not go, the Paraclete, the Holy Spirit, will not come to you. But if I go, I will send to you another consoler. Yes, our Lord has been our consoler up until this day, directly. But he says, if I go, I will send you another consoler, the Holy Spirit, who will descend upon you and come into you. And he will be in you in a way far more profoundly than the way that I speak to you now, a way that will be far more perfect. That is the reason why our Lord also wished to depart in a corporeal manner from us, in order that he may dwell in us through his Spirit in a way that is far more perfect, a way that is far more intimate, a way that reflects the way our Lord will be in us in heaven. And that is the reason why we can say, in a manner of speaking, that we live the life of heaven right now, because our Lord ascended into heaven. We are in heaven with our Lord, in a manner of speaking, because we are part of his body. And also, we live the life of heaven right now, because our Lord has sent another Paraclete, another Consoler, the Holy Spirit, who comes inside of us and dwells in us and makes us live the life of grace, which is the life of the blessed in heaven, the life of the saints, makes us share, in a manner of speaking, in a way, in a real way, the existence that the saints have in heaven, the life of grace, gives us the ability to communicate with God, to be intimate with our Lord, God the Father, and God the Holy Spirit, in a way that the saints have that intimacy in heaven. That is all contained, you see, in this great event. That is why the Ascension is such a great feast. And it is too bad, I think, that more people do not understand the greatness of this event, the greatness of this mystery. It is, in a way, almost as important as the resurrection. Almost. It is, as it were, the culmination, the completion of it. You know, when our Lord ascended into heaven, he did not do so alone. Tradition has it that all of the saints that had been freed from hell, from limbo, were still waiting. They did not go to heaven until this very day, when our Lord ascended into heaven. And it says, you know, that he ascended into heaven at the very spot that he began his passion, at the Garden of Olives. When he ascended into heaven, it says that all of the saints who had died went to heaven with him, including Saint Joseph, who is said to have risen from the dead at the same time that our Lord rose from the dead also. This is a testimony, I think, to this truth, that we are meant to be in heaven just like our Lord is, to share the happiness that he has. And that is the reason why I say that our thoughts today, our very being, our very life, is brought up to heaven. And there is one last thing. It has to do with the apostles. Because while we are brought to heaven, the church does not allow us to stay there. The church brings us back down to earth. And she does so by making us consider, in the very last part of this feast, the words of the gospel. You know what it says? It says that before our Lord ascended into heaven, it says that he scolded the apostles for their lack of faith and their hardness of heart, because they did not penetrate the greatest truth of the redemption, the resurrection, because they did not believe. You know, I think that, and certainly it is understood by those who know anything about the Gospels, that the reason why the apostles kept staring into heaven when our Lord ascended was because they were afraid to be alone. You know, the words of the disciples on the road to Emmaus from Jerusalem, and our Lord appeared to them after his resurrection, was that same day, you know. And after he had spoken to them, it says he made as if he was going to leave them, and it was getting to be evening. And so the two disciples said to our Lord, "Stay with us, because it's getting dark." The reason is because they enjoyed his company. They felt a certain mysterious consolation in the words that our Lord had spoken to them, even though they did not know who he was. Those words, "Mane nobiscum Domine quoniam adversperasit," those words are repeated all during the Paschal season, at the hour of noon and at the hour of Vespers, as the versicle and response before the Magnificat. "Mane nobiscum Domine, alleluia, quoniam adversperasit, alleluia." It's almost as if we are looking forward to the day that our Lord will not be with us in a physical way. It's almost as if the church is, even though happy for the resurrection, it is still a little bit sad, because the joy of that feast will leave, at least in a manner. It's almost like today. It's a great day, but yet outside it is gray. I think that that's exactly the way it looked when our Lord ascended into heaven. I don't think it was a sunny day. I think it was a gray day, a gloomy day. I think it reflected the sadness of earth, that it was going to lose the physical presence of our Lord and Savior. The church repeats that which was exactly in the hearts of the apostles as they looked up and saw our Lord leave them. They were afraid because of their enemies. They were afraid to be alone, because you see, they got all of their faith from the consolation of looking at our Lord's body risen from the dead. They drew their strength in believing in the redemption. They drew their ability, their courage, as it were, to leave the values that they had left behind, the values of the world, their material lives, their sustenance, their vocations in the world, their willingness to take a chance, as it were, to walk in a certain darkness, not knowing what the future would hold for them, because they drew confidence from our Lord's body. They were attached to the natural consolation of seeing the very wounds of our Lord, of seeing his body risen from the dead. And it was because of that, you see, that our Lord, as it were, scolded them. He said that they were hard of heart. They were too attached, even though they had been purified in their senses. They still, in their intellect and in their will, they were still of earth. They were still too attached. They were attached to their own views, their own opinions. That is the reason why at the Last Supper our Lord said, "It is necessary for you that I go." The reason is because he wanted to make them perfect in virtue. Remember when I spoke weeks ago about the second conversion? Well, the apostles had already made it. There was time for a third conversion, a new turning. And so, the apostles, as our Lord saw in them, were guilty, as it were, of a certain dissipation of spirit, of a distraction, of an inability to penetrate the mysteries of faith that they were meant to preach, of understanding, for example, as perfectly as possible, the mystery of the redemption, of the passion and death, and of the resurrection. They could not do it because they were too caught up by the things of the senses. They were also impatient, and they were still arguing as to who would be first in the kingdom of heaven. They were certain, had a certain crudeness about their spiritual life. And all of these things needed to be refined by pure and virtually blind faith and by a single-minded love. And that is why our Lord withdrew his presence, so that he would give them things that were far more profound, far more pure, spiritual, far more detached from the things of the body. And that is why our Lord ascended into heaven. This was the beginning of the apostles' night of the spirit, the night of the soul. That is why they were sad. That is why they tried to look up as much as they could to get as far, as much as possible, a very last glimpse of our Lord's body so that they would not forget. And that is why the angels who appeared to the apostles scolded them. "Men of Galilee, why do you look up to heaven? This Jesus whom you have seen go up, he's going to come back. But now it is time to go back to Jerusalem and wait for the coming of the Holy Spirit and be in darkness. Be afraid." And that mystery of that final purification which the apostles underwent is meant to be the story of every soul that lives in this world. It is meant to be exactly what you are called to live out right now. And it is for that reason, you see, that in the closing remarks of the divine office, the antiphon for the Magnificat, for Vespers, reads like this: "O King of glory, O Lord of power, you who, as a conqueror, ascended today over all the heavens, do not leave us as orphans, but send the promise of the Father to us, the Spirit of Truth." That, you see, is what this feast leaves us with. It leaves us with a petition that we would be given the promise of the Father, the Spirit of Truth, who would enable us to live the life of heaven. But we will never receive the Spirit of Truth unless we follow our Lord in pain, in suffering, and in the purification that only God can give us, the Holy Spirit will give us, through the gift of understanding and wisdom. There is a very beautiful story that they tell of one of the holy women of Jerusalem who sought out our Lord, who lived in Bethany, you see, this woman. And Bethany, you know, is near Jerusalem. But she sought out our Lord to speak to him. But she was too late to see him. So she went to Jerusalem and went to the upper room and then finally went to the Mountain of Olives, to the place where our Lord began his passion. The reason why she went there, one of these holy women, was because she knew that our Lord often went there to pray and to preach. And she went there, but he was not there. Neither were his apostles. But she did find blood on the ground. The blood that flowed from our Lord's being beaten right there in the Garden of Olives, being arrested and shoved and struck. And that blood did not cease to flow right there, but left a trail of blood from the Garden of Olives, where our Lord began his passion, all the way to the Lithostratos, to the place where our Lord is put on trial, to the temple, or near the temple where our Lord was interrogated, to the Via Dolorosa. She followed this trail of blood up the streets of Jerusalem and finally up to the mountain of Calvary. And there she found our Savior crucified. That is exactly the way we are meant to live. Just like that. To follow the path of blood. Just like one dying soldier once said, who was a holy young man, and when he was being absolved on the battlefield by the priest, he said to the priest, "I am going home." He followed the path of blood. He followed the path of purification, the path of suffering. This is precisely what this mystery, this feast, leaves us with. It starts out with heaven, brings us up to heaven, makes us look forward to what is in store for us and what we are actually living now in a manner, but then does not leave us there, but pulls us down from heaven and leaves us on earth with the words of the angels, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up to heaven?" During this Mass, you should take your breviary, and at least during your communion, you should say that prayer, the prayer that is a petition for this third conversion, this final purification, the way that will enable you to live the life of the Spirit, the life of heaven, the life of a saint, the life of our Lord. If you have been given that, then you will be as effective as our Lord was on Calvary, as effective as the apostles were when they received the Holy Spirit on Pentecost. One sermon on St. Peter converted 3,000 souls. His words were reflective of pure faith, not a faith that is mingled with personal opinion, but a faith that was pure, a faith that was, as it were, sight in darkness, a hope that is unalloyed, and a love that is reflective of wisdom, wisdom that enables you to see all things as they fit in God. That is what the Holy Spirit wants to give you. That is why our Lord ascended, to give you that, and to be as intimate with you as he is with his saints in heaven. And it is that that you must pray, and I will pray for at this Mass, this feast, in this feast of the Ascension of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.